is Eddie LeSure, and welcome to A Mindful Emergence on WPVM. I'll be joined very soon by our special guests for this week. We come to you live each Monday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. at 103.7 on your FM radio dial, or you can stream us globally at WPVMFM.org. This program is also rebroadcast Thursday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Our focus each week is on various aspects of recovery, discussing topics such as addiction, trauma, wellness, healing, self-care, and personal transformation, as we take an in-depth and informative look into approaches that can be integrated into daily life. All our programs are underwritten by A Mindful Emergence, a locally owned LLC that's committed to bringing integrated solutions into addiction recovery and trauma relief, utilizing body-centered mindfulness, self-compassion, and therapeutic movement practices. For more information, our website is amindfulemergence.com. With that, I'd like to welcome you into our program, all our listeners, back into A Mindful Emergence. This is program number 112 in our ongoing series that we've been doing now for about 2.5 years. And welcome into the studio. We have Lillian Woods and Ezra Post from the True Self Healing Group. The theme this week is therapy resourcing the whole self. And the True Self Healing Group is Asheville's only low fee, it's also probably low flea, low fee clinic specializing in trauma care. So with that, I want to welcome you, Lillian. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us, Eddie.
And Ezra?
Yes, thanks for having us.
So Ezra, perhaps you could kind of give us an idea. Tell us a little bit more about the True Self Healing Group. And what we're going to be focusing on this week, if you would.
The True Self Healing Group is a new group practice. It's complete with a number of, we have six clinicians. Two of them are part of a training program, and they run the Lofi Clinic. And then we have other services like groups, psychotherapy, family therapy, the whole self is referring to integrative techniques based on the latest we know about neuroscience, about how the body heals and resolves and manifests trauma.
So it's not a cookie cutter approach. You're not looking at simple solutions to just fix one aspect of the individual?
Right, and there's no one way to get there.
There's no one way, is there?
No.
Okay. Well, let's explore your background. Lillian, we were talking a little bit before we came on the air, and you've been in Asheville for a while now, and you said you came from Philadelphia.
I did.
Big city girl.
Yeah. I moved down here in the year 2000. I actually live in Haywood County, but spend a lot of time here in Asheville. And I moved here for a slower pace of life, I thought.
Oh, haven't found that?
Haven't found that because there's always lots to do.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You got that right. So you are, what is your training and background with True Self?
Well, I come with more than 20 years of experience as a nurse and a pediatric nurse practitioner. I worked in as a primary care provider in Haywood County for almost, well, say 16 years, and I devoted myself to caring for the children and families of Haywood County and realized that I wanted to offer a more holistic approach, and that's what brought me to counseling. Mm.
And you did your master's at Lenore Ryan University right here in Asheville.
Yes, I'm actually completing that. Oh. I graduate in May.
Good for you.
And I will graduate with a master's of arts in counseling, clinical mental health counseling. And my focus is with children and families, but and beyond.
And you bring also that piece as a registered nurse as well. So that's a great combination.
Thank you.
All right. And Ezra, you have your master's in social work. And what are these other letters? LCSW, what's that?
it's a license. If you have a master's in clinical social work, doesn't necessarily mean you have the license to practice.
Oh.
So you can teach with a master's.
So you're a licensed clinical social worker.
Right.
And SEP?
Somatic experiencing practitioner.
Yeah. Oh, I want to talk about somatic experiencing.
Me too.
Oh, I love SE. It's wonderful, yes. And you're the founder and director of True Self Healing Group.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And you're on the board of directors of Our Voice, which is an organization that I absolutely love. We did have Sharon and Poppy on as guests several months ago, Western North Carolina's oldest rape crisis prevention center. So thanks for serving on that board as well.
Absolutely.
So I want to go back to you, Lillian. How did you get interested in working in the area of mental health and service?
Well, I have to be honest. Sometimes there's just one person that changes your life, and I'm going to mention a name. Her name's Melissa Baker, and she has a Master's of Public Health, and she's worked with MAHEC here in Asheville through the years, and she, in working in quality improvement exercises with the practice where I was, introduced me to ACEs, and my life has never been the same. And ACEs stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences, and many people in their lifetime experience adverse childhood experiences or toxic stress in their environment, and it's otherwise known as trauma.
Yeah, and we're going to get back into ACEs studies and a lot of other stuff. And what about you, Ezra? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New York.
Oh, which part?
In the Hudson River Valley,
okay.
Maybe an hour and a half outside of New York City.
Okay.
Where people don't take any nonsense from anybody else. Down here, everyone's waving at each other. Up there, it's like, you know,
down here, you go into the grocery stores and the cashiers call you honey.
That's right.
They didn't do that where you grew up.
Yeah.
Not where I grew up. How about Philadelphia, Lillian?
No, they didn't do that there.
No, it's a different way. How long have you been around this area?
I moved here originally in 2003.
Okay. And what got you interested in deciding to work as a social worker, a licensed social worker?
Well, I have experienced a lot of difficulties in my life growing up.
Okay.
I'm no stranger to trauma like many people. And so it's a bit of a long story. I'm happy to get into it at some point. Maybe I'll just share a little bit now. I'm going to be vague.
Okay.
So just... moving around a lot, challenges in the family, things like that. I'm very familiar with sexual violence, which is part of the mission of Our Voice.
Clearly.
And so that work is really meaningful to me. And I work with a lot of people who suffer from the effects of sexual violence, as it is permeable in our culture. There are several different types of trauma. And it refers to one form we know of as insidious trauma, which is this sort of ubiquitous space of violence. And it jacks up the autonomic nervous system, so it's always pumping a little bit of stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline. So that affects the whole system over time. But anyway, I feel like I'm gangbusters on this question. I had great upbringing as well in different respects, and the thing that helped me was love and connection, and so I wanted to help mm-hmm. people with that. I hit the road at some point because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I moved to France for a while, stayed on Plum Village.
Oh, I've been there.
You have?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. I did a 21-day retreat there.
Oh, great.
Back in 2000.
Which Hamlet?
I was in the Upper Hamlet.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's the cool Hamlet.
Yeah. Well, they all seem pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
Were you a monk there?
No.
You just lived there for a while.
Yeah, I lived there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So when I came back to the States, I realized that I was a healer. It was more of a realization of what I was versus something I wanted to do, you mm-hmm. know. It's just something that you are, I think, yeah. sometimes.
It's got to be in your blood, doesn't it? It's hard work. It's rewarding, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
You got to have a passion for it
yeah.
and a resilience.
Some people, one of the most common questions that I get from friends and family is, how could you do that? Isn't it depressing? Isn't it sad? And the thing is that to connect with somebody, even on a level of pain, is fulfilling. And there's a science to that, too. But then you get to walk through to the other side with each other. And it's just, it's a transformative experience. And it's very corrective for all the challenges that we all go through. You mm-hmm. know, it's one of those, the therapeutic relationship for me is very much about two or more humans working it out, you know, and helping, you know, more in one direction. But, you know, I get something out of it too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I know the people that I work with, I hate to say this because it sounds creepy, but I fall in love with them. You know,
yeah,
I mean, and some of them have been through such difficulty, and the courage that it takes for them to face their pain and suffering and be willing to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is powerful.
I didn't find that creepy at all.
Okay, good.
I found that you're talking about walking alongside someone
yes.
in their journey, and they need that love.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have conversations almost every day where I say something like, what we do here is we want to offer you the highest level of care that we possibly can, and I'm not going to work harder than you. Mm.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But we're right here alongside you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it's about.
That's sweet.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about trauma. This word, a lot of people are uncomfortable with it, but it is pervasive in our culture, and it's often misunderstood. But you alluded before to the fact that trauma really is stored in the body.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand that until I read Waking the Tiger by Peter Levine,
oh, yes.
the founder of Somatic Experiencing. And it does impact the autonomic nervous system, and which is impacted by how the brain functions.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that in terms of how a lot of people are in fight or flight as a result of trauma, either one of you, if you could just explore that a little bit more and help flesh that out.
Sure. Where to begin?
Yes. We could spend an hour just on this, I know. But
yeah. Well, the autonomic nervous system is a physiological structure. It's part of the brain, and it's the stress response system in the body. So anytime we have stress in our lives, it's getting processed in part by the autonomic nervous system. So the way that we communicate as healers with the autonomic nervous system to resolve the trauma is through connection and through the body connection.
There's so many thoughts. I know, trying to boil it down.
Through the felt sense, mm-hmm. so I know that this term is out there now. Finding sensory information is a great way to, and the best way, I think, to read and commune with the autonomic nervous system, where it is, what's happening in the system. It might be easier for me to come up with some very general amalgamation stories that could help illustrate. So, for instance, a person has trouble sleeping. A person has trouble focusing on a conversation. a person has is tired and yet overly stimulated at times. There's a term called hot mess. Are you familiar?
Mm-hmm. I've heard the term.
Yeah, it's a younger term I've been privy to long ago. And so, you know, just basically a hot mess. I don't know what's going on. Help me. And so they come to you, and basically what we're working with is global activation, so high activation in the nervous system, a level of dysregulation that is not allowing the person to access the prefrontal cortex, which is the language and the reasoning center of the brain.
And impulse control.
And impulse control, right. Yes. So they're not sure what's going on. And so part of our job, Lillian's and mine, as well as the other associates in the practice, is to find ways, partnering with the people whom we serve, to find a way in there to calm the hyperactivity in the autonomic nervous system.
Yeah.
And then they're able to commune with us directly from one adult to the other, and we can talk about exactly what is going on and what are the ways. You know, sometimes we do skill building, but really the work is about reconditioning the autonomic nervous system. Because by the time that they come into our offices, there's a foundation of unresolved trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exponential. It just kind of gets bigger and bigger. And over time, one little thing and it's like a huge effect.
Yeah. If you just tuned in, you're listening to A Mindful Emergence on the new WPVM LP in Asheville, North Carolina, 103.7 on your dial, and we stream globally at WPVMFM.org. And I'm joined in the studio this week by Ezra Post and Lillian Woods from the True Self Healing Group, and the theme is therapy resourcing the whole self. So, Lillian, I was in my office the other day with a woman, and I'll share the story. I'm interested in your thoughts about it. She said that she had been home with her husband the other night,
mm-hmm.
you know, the night before this particular day. And she says, I just started yelling. And my husband looked at me and said, why are you yelling? And she said, I don't know what else to do. So I asked her, I said, well, would you like to explore another possible option? And she said, well, yeah. So we just talked about taking a breath, just taking a breath and feeling her feet on the floor. And it was like I had turned the light on in the room.
Hmm. So you made that suggestion.
I offered it as a possibility. Uh-huh. You know, uh-huh. we don't give advice, do we, Lillian?
Typically not.
But typically we not. Offer options
yeah.
and ask them if yeah. they're willing to explore. Have you had experiences with people who come in who just don't know what to do? How much does that happen?
It's a very common issue, and sometimes people get to that crisis point where they have nothing they can do, and they are coming for assistance in finding some approaches that work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're the knowledgeable people who have options, but people have that knowledge within themselves.
They do.
They might just need someone to help guide them at a certain time.
Well, it's like Ezra was saying, the prefrontal cortex isn't really mm-hmm. operating. They're in fight or flight.
That's right.
And so it's really hard to come up with those ideas. Now, I'm a meditation teacher, mm-hmm. so that's what I bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have offered another possibility. Ezra might have, I don't know. What would you say in that situation? I'm curious. I want to learn.
Well, I have to admit that breathing is sometimes the first thing that people can access because it's easy and it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring it with them everywhere they go. So that's a first step, a pause, and a noticing the breath. And then oftentimes, my favorite is 4-7-8 breathing, which is breathing in for 4, holding for 7, and breathing out forcefully, or at least with a little bit more force, for 8. And doing that for a cycle of 4 is very helpful for many people because it resets the vagus nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the autonomic nervous system that Ezra was referring to earlier.
Yeah, the wandering nerve.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how pervasive is trauma in our culture, Ezra?
Well, how pervasive is crime? If you're committing a crime, hurting part of the tribe, there's trauma. Because we're not designed to hurt each other. We're designed to survive through connection with each other. And so when we're hurting each other, we're resisting that connection, we're denying, we're breaking that connection. And ultimately, everyone involved suffers.
Mm-hmm. And Lillian, when someone is in that activated state, how difficult is it for them to distinguish between real threat and just perceived threat?
Gosh.
That's a great question.
That's a great question. And it depends on their background and how long they've been in a kind of persistent state of stress. Some people are more activated and easier to come, or less easy to regulate or modulate than others. So I think it's very individual as far as the answer to that question.
What have you noticed in your work?
Well, I'll go ahead and start.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, in terms of perception of reality, that's the reality. That's the reality I'm working with when somebody comes in. And so it's kind of like you pick up wherever the person is out of respect for their own journey. Because as healers, we're not there to define the path, but to join them on their own path and help them in whatever ways we can figure out what that journey is, what it could be, you know, how to enhance the experience of the life journey. I know that might sound a little woo-woo, but that's kind of how I think about it.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned adverse childhood experiences before, Lillian. Could you say more about that and how people can find out about that and actually see what their score is?
Yeah, absolutely. Adverse childhood experiences are based out of a study that was done in the late 1990s in California with a physician out of La Jolla, California, and a Centers for Disease Control researcher. And 17,000 patients with the Kaiser Permanente Health Insurance Panel were studied, and these were middle-class, insured, employed individuals. And there was a study questionnaire that was developed that asked questions about different stressors. So some of the questions referred to divorce in the family. Some of it had to do with whether there was neglect or abuse or violence or mental illness in the family. And it was shocking to the researchers to recognize that, I hate to say it, I want to say 63% or 67% of people had at least one of the 10 child stressful experiences. So adverse childhood experiences, really that study from Dr. Robert Anda and Vincent Felitti really showed that it's pervasive and it's not based on financial, educational, or other backgrounds. It's pervasive. ACEstoohigh.com, I believe, is a site where you can go to answer the questions to see if you've actually experienced adverse childhood experiences. And the reason this information is important is there's a link. If you do not address these issues, it's not a life sentence if you have adverse childhood experiences, but it encourages you to address them because they are linked with situations of chronic health issues such as obesity, diabetes, lung cancer, and some other health problems. but it's not a life sentence.
And what I've come to understand about it is, I don't remember the details. If Margaret was here, I know she would remember, but if you have something like three or more on the scale, your chances of going into active addiction, behavioral or substance addiction, is like something like four times as high or something. I mean, and it makes sense, because what is addiction, you know, basically is trying to find comfort.
Right. I don't remember the exact percentage, but the website actually shares a lot of information and what it's linked to. And substance abuse, especially IV drug abuse, is very common as the rate of ACEs go up.
Well, and we were talking about Dr. Gabor Mate, who I absolutely adore. He's written a number of great books, but one of them is In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts, which I think is one of the most profound books on addiction. But he says, and, you know, he used to work in the downtown east side of Vancouver in an area that was just ravaged by drugs. And he said people ask the wrong question when they're talking about drug addiction. They ask, why the addiction? They should be asking the question, why the pain? Mm-hmm. And he said the women in the area, every single one of them had suffered extreme sexual trauma in that area.
Wow.
You know?
It never surprises, but it I always feel like, gosh, that's still hard to hear.
It's hard to hear.
But
it is across many aspects of our culture. I've heard people say that you can be traumatized just by watching the news. What are your thoughts about that? Is that a bit extreme, or
you could stub your toe in the dark, going to the bathroom at night, and be traumatized? It's true. If the autonomic nervous system is in isolation in the organism, in the person, and has that response, and it doesn't get resolved, which is most easily done in connection with another human animal, then you've got trauma. So we're designed to come out of it all the time, but we have a culture here that really values individuality and strength through individuality.
Right.
And that, unfortunately, doesn't lend itself to resiliency when we're talking about trauma.
Yeah. We're all us guys, we're supposed to be John Wayne.
Yeah.
Right? This kind of thing. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. I want to come back and talk more about community, the role of community in recovery, explore somatic experiences, talk about the symptoms of trauma, how people can recognize it, and more about the work that you do at the True Self Healing Group. But I've picked out a piece of music this week by a group called Blue Highway. And I really like this song, and I certainly hope that you do as well.
Chill in sunless room. naked trees against the sky. All the wild birds flying homeward, goodbye, love, goodbye.
Life be sweet and simple. I think that's a prayer I could offer up to just about all of our listeners out there. May your life be sweet and simple. This is Eddie Lesher, and from 7 to 8 p.m. every Monday on WPVM, Margaret Kirshner and I are joined by guests who share their unique experience and expertise in their effort to support personal and planetary healing and wholeness. And Margaret did take the night off this week and will probably be back next week to join me. You can tune in at 103.7 FM or go to WPVMFM.org to pick up this show live Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m. We also have the rebroadcast Thursdays from 9 to 10 a.m. And past programs are archived on our show host page for your convenience. You can easily locate them by just going to the schedule at our website, clicking on this program. It's listed Mondays at 7. We're broadcasting live Monday, March 5th, 2018. This is program 112. And all our shows are made possible by A Mindful Emergence, LLC, our Asheville-based company that offers classes, workshops, and one-on-one support for individuals living in recovery or wanting to experience recovery. The website is amindfulemergence.com. You can also find us on Facebook and LinkedIn. And one other show on WPVM that you might particularly want to check out if you like A Mindful Emergence is A Better World with McNair Ezert, Thursdays at 5 p.m. when he brings on guests who work in areas such as hunger and poverty, economic and social justice, and the environment and spirituality. I also want to mention an event that's coming up on March 29th. And you're invited to a community screening of the documentary Crazy Wise. Several months ago, I had on as a guest the director, Phil Borge, talking about how indigenous cultures often identify psychotic symptoms as an indicator of shamanic potential. This is a film at the Grail Movie House, March 29th at 6:30. And so there's plenty of free parking, and you can get information by going to the Center for Spiritual Emergence.com. So speaking of websites, I want to return back to our guests, Lillian Woods and Ezra Post from the True Self Healing Lofi Clinic. What is your website, Lillian, where people can get information about you?
It's TrueSelfHealingGroup.com. And backslash Lofi dash clinic for the particular portion of the practice where I am.
Okay, but if you open up that window, they can access that information. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have any events or anything coming up that you want to mention that our listeners might be particularly interested in?
Ezra, you have the details, don't you?
Sure. Yeah, we've got a couple. Actually, we have an open house on March 23rd from 4 to 6 p.m. at 33 Orange Street, where the group resides. And all are welcome to that, light refreshments. We have a group coming up. It's a free offering to meet the therapists. It's called Women Connected, an Evening of Exploration. That's on March 25th. From 4 to 6 p.m. And then we have spring cleaning and decluttering, which is going to be a meet and greet in late March. You know, it's apropos. Actually, Lillian is partnering with one of our other clinicians from the group to offer that group. So we have quite a bit going on. And then we have group therapy, family therapy, individual therapy. Lots going on there, too.
Yeah. And you're a low-fee trauma clinic, and you have donation-based community classes. How does that work?
Well, so the True Self Healing Group is a group practice, which means that we have various providers fully licensed who pay an association fee to be a member of the group. We all serve a common purpose in terms of facilitating connection and healing as an antidote to trauma and unresolved attachment wounding. I can say more about that later. And then under that umbrella, we have community offerings and group offerings. The community offerings will be things like learning discussion groups around a self-help book or topic of interest, like what is trauma or how do I know if I have trauma or just facilitating connection around healing and growth. And then we have the low fee clinic, which is a service provided by the group practice to those who may not otherwise afford support in that way. And so if you go to trueselfhealinggroup.com, there's more information on how you can plug into any of those services. We have the four providers as well as the two clinicians. Amy Hamilton is another provider along with Lillian.
Yes.
And they're going to be, they may even be having a group in the near future too. So that's
great. Is there a phone number you want to give out or you just stick with the website?
Stick with the website. You can contact specific telephone numbers on there. There's email addresses and everything. If anyone wants to call me directly, you can call 828-691-1450. If you want to reach one of the clinicians at the clinic or in the group practice, all the numbers are on the website.
Okay, yeah. Great. Okay. So we may have listeners out there wondering, gee, you know, have I experienced trauma? What are some of the symptoms that you might, people might recognize or that are associated with trauma or, you know, the activation of the autonomic nervous system, this kind of thing? What would they notice?
So just to give you a background, and it sounds like you know quite a bit about this, but for
I know just enough to get into trouble.
Oh, I see. Sounds like you're doing great work.
Well,
though,
so. Thanks.
So the autonomic nervous system is connected to all the visceral organs in the body that run everything, digestion, salivation, heart rate, all that stuff. So any kind of issues that result from dysregulation in those systems will be a result of trauma, like high blood pressure or fatigue, trouble sleeping, nightmares. I mean, there's a lot that is commonly known about trauma, like flashbacks and depersonalization and things like addiction and stuff like that. But then there's, you know, things like chronic fatigue, joint pain, fibromyalgia. All these things can find their roots or part of their root in trauma, unresolved trauma. So if you're going the medical route only or one route in particular, you need to really pepper your experience, your body with a variety of healing modalities to get to it. It's challenging to be a human being, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. And I think it's particularly challenging because of what you said before is that we live in a culture where the tribe has disintegrated.
Yeah.
Right, Lillian?
Absolutely. We don't always know our next door neighbor. We don't always connect with them. We might not feel safe, or we might be disconnected from our family members, even if it's not even within the same household. So our community is very important, and it feeds our self-esteem. It feeds our value for ourselves and offers us a sense of safety.
So, I mean, what is this dynamic that takes place in therapy? I mean, how does therapy work?
That's a good question.
I come up with a good question once in a while.
That's good.
Well, actually, it was written down. You gave me this question.
Yeah. Oh, that's the... God, I shoot myself in the foot every time. Well, it works because we're designed to heal. And if you know, as a healer, what protocols to follow to help with the healing, one of the main ones is genuine connection.
Yeah.
Not only with another, but with yourself. So when I'm in a session with somebody, I have to be present in myself as much as possible. Sometimes I can go into a session and feel a little cranky or something, mm-hmm. and I come out feeling great, you know.
Well, how do you prepare yourself for a session? I mean, let's say you're going to the office,
yeah,
and you realize, I'm feeling a little off.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm really ready for this. What do you do?
I feel my body. I move around, you know. Movement helps us become more in our bodies instead of in these fantasies or other ideas about other parts of our lives. We're either thinking of the past or the future, and so anything to get present is what I'm doing. I'm moving my body around. I'm connecting with anyone who's around, if possible. And then I refer to resources, things that are resourcing, moments of connection that I've had in my life at some point. And those bring me even more presence. Because when we're activated, we start losing track of the present moment. It's what happens with substances or workaholism or other activities. There's sex addiction, there's gambling, you know, you name it. So if we're, the more present we are, we're not going to hurt ourselves. We're not going to do things to hurt ourselves. And we're going to feel more regulated, more safe, more clear. So anyway, I practice what I preach.
So the body is always in the here and now, isn't it, Lillian? If we can connect with the body, we're not in the past or the future, right?
Right. Oftentimes, the approach that I would take is to use my five senses and to see something and to notice and observe maybe the colors, maybe the textures, different things using each of the senses. So the vision, the hearing, listen for whatever the noises or sounds are in the environment that are appealing. I look for the appealing sounds. So it might be birdsong. It might be feeling the rug beneath my feet, and I don't really taste anything usually. Although
maybe
some
the
people
aftertaste of coffee.
Yeah,
that's
that would
what
work.
I'm tasting now.
Yeah, and then smelling the environment. If you have essential oils, mm-hmm, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. But that grounds you in the present moment, and yeah. It's something that using all of our senses at the time is a way to just take a few moments to be in that place at that moment then and being mindful.
You know, I've noticed I was doing group with some people in early recovery. I mean, some of these folks, they've just come out of detox. I mean, they're just struggling just to be in the, you know, it's really hard for them.
Yeah.
And they'll sit there and they'll kind of rock back and forth in their chair. And I'm doing it here in the studio. Our listeners obviously can't see me. But I'm like rubbing my legs and I'm rocking and I'm rubbing my legs. And I realize they're just trying to feel something. Mm-hmm. It's like almost instinctively they're wanting to ground.
Right, right.
The body knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And you always ask yourself as a therapist, what's the function of that activity or behavior or thinking? because the consciousness, the body, everything is always trying to heal and grow. And so you're always trying to pick up the bead wherever the person's coming into the office to catch up. Like, oh, that's where they are. Okay. It's kind of like juggling and while running on a wire kind of thing. It's pretty intense and fun.
Yeah. So somatic experiencing you talked about before. I mentioned that I became familiar. Actually, I'm a trauma survivor, and I had experience working with somatic experiencing. And then I read Peter Levine's book, and you mentioned the term felt sense. I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit more about what he learned and what he says about trauma and how nature, how it's expressed in nature, and it gives examples. Mm-hmm. I think like when the gazelle is, you familiar with that example?
Yes, yeah.
I wonder if you could just talk about that and maybe explain a little bit more what felt sense means.
Mm-hmm. The felt sense, there's a lot of dimensions that we think about in SE. And unfortunately, I don't know that I'm able to go into the specifics because I went to the training and there's proprietary information.
Sure.
So I'm going to try to answer your question a little bit acrobatically. That somatic experiencing finds its roots in shamanism and psychology and ethology, to name a few. So Peter Levine was studying how animals respond because we share a part of our brain, the less myelinated version, which is more of a reactive portion of our brain with animals, with the animal kingdom. And so he was studying us through studying them. And what he was noticing, in my understanding, is that the animal will do whatever it needs to do to survive, whether it's to run or fight or just play dead, basically. And so what we do as humans with our conscious minds is to sense in with our five senses, as Lillian mentioned, and also with a sixth sense, which is just a where you can feel the energy in your body. You can feel maybe tingling or pressure, like if you're having a rough day at work or you're getting a headache. You know, I work with people with migraines. We call that a syndromal issue. And these things really do clear up. I mean, it's miraculous. So you ask, how does therapy work? It's such a tome answer, but it does, you know, because it's rooted in these sciences, and we know so much more now about the brain than we did when Freud was around in the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah,
and his stuff is great too.
Yeah, I know some people want to discredit him, but
yeah,
you know, it's not like everything. I mean, I think we've learned things, yeah. But he figured a lot of stuff out.
Right.
What do you relate much to the work of Carl Jung and a lot of that kind of stuff? Does that apply at all, or is that sort of really tangential?
It's not a direction I take necessarily, mm-hmm. but it's funny that you would say that because our other intern resonates very strongly with that, doesn't mm-hmm. she?
Yeah, she does.
Jungian?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the whole, but the issue has been for since the beginning of psychology that we haven't brought the body on board. And so we talk about the whole self. Well, that's the body. There's yeah. so much that you can feel and experience in your body. Some clients, they won't be able to feel their body right. at all. And so then you're starting there. You know, what are you noticing, you know, here and there? And find we have different techniques to help with that as
Could
well.
Could you give an example of one?
Just a general kind of made-up example would be somebody is having trouble in relationships, and it always runs into trouble around sex, and they can't really feel their bodies, it turns out, in different ways. And so you think, what's the function of that? And then you look at their history and you find, oh, there's trauma, there might be sexual abuse. You know, it's not so clear as that, but that's when my nervous system comes in. That's when Lillian's nervous system comes in, and we're really like sensing where the hot spots are. It's kind of like breadcrumbs as you go. So that's, does that get to it kind of? Or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about that, Lillian?
Not on the Jungian. It's just not my area.
It's beautiful work. It's beautiful work, and it's a part of the work.
Yeah.
And I think it's important in our work not to be a theoretical dogmatist, which is, you know, you get hooked on something. And
so what are your thoughts? How helpful are practices such as yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, these kinds of practices, are they recommended? How do you see them helpful if they are? Do you want to speak to that?
Sure. I definitely appreciate the use of the body and the mind together in healing trauma or just general well-being practices. So yoga in particular is... just is a gentle exercise at most times that's very helpful. And it has a mindful component to it that really helps people take care of their mind and body at the same time.
Yeah, for some people it might be an opportunity to get back in their body in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
I always encourage people to make sure that they, if they're new to it, to ask for a beginner's class.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's such a wide range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they could have a bad experience if they go into a class. Well, they don't want to come in and do an Ashtanga class. I mean, that's a really advanced practice. But and there's restorative yoga,
mm-hmm.
you know, where there's not that much movement, but it just really allows them to go into their body. Another thing I wanted to explore was resourcing. You talked about that. And maybe you could explain a little bit like how people can use resourcing as a way to self-regulate.
Resourcing is a way to help manage the stimulation in the autonomic nervous system. So if we're having trouble focusing or feeling okay, feeling contained and safe, you can use a resource to help yourself come more into safety and in yourself, in your body. And a symptom of not feeling safe might be that you're perpetually thinking about something other than what's happening right now. You know, it could be as general as that, or it could be like you're hooked on a specific, I'm angry at this person, why didn't they do this, you know, kind of thing, or how do I fix this problem? And so through resourcing, both internally and externally, you can find a calming effect. So sometimes with external resources like the ones that you and Lillian were just talking about, they can be very empowering. Other times they can be dissociative, and people can use them to dissociate and not realize that. That's one of those things that a therapist can help you identify, you know, because you're paying them for their autonomic nervous system to really notice those things. And then you have internal resourcing, like the example I gave earlier of just, did I give an example earlier?
I have one. We have a cat that is the love bug cat, you know, the kind that you can just pick up and flip upside down and it just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So when I just imagine holding her and she's so soft and she's purring and she's warm, there's something that happens in my body that probably is very self-regulating.
Yeah, sure. Well, just as you talk about the cat, you sound so mellow. I'm chill. I'm relaxing myself.
It's true.
So I can feel the cat here with us.
Yeah. I mean, just talking about it, I'd probably start smiling.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. What's the cat's name?
Freya.
Oh.
Yeah, which, as I understand, she came with her name. We didn't name her, but apparently it's a goddess. It's a Nordic goddess of some kind.
My goodness.
Yes.
Power.
But she can be rather insistent. You know, it's like, pick me up now. Darn it.
Isn't that refreshing, though?
Yes. You
know, people aren't always like that.
She's asking for what she wants. She's very clear.
Yeah.
And assertive.
Assertive
is good. And, in the morning, it's like, excuse, when I come home tonight, she'll want to be picked up immediately.
Yeah.
And, of course, I want to, you know, do things like maybe take my coat off first.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, once I sit down with her, there's something that just happens that's so calming for me. Mm-hmm. And if I just picture that, if I just imagine that, something happens.
Yeah. And so then you can start to, like, if you were in my office, like, just noticing the various aspects of your experience in your body. You know, what are you noticing? What sensation? What are the images happening?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of, you know, is there tingles? Is it soft? Is it hard?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's felt sense now.
That's felt sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're nearing the end of the show, and I want to make sure that you've had an opportunity to talk about, you know, the most important things that you came here to.
This has been an incredible opportunity for both of us.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Well, what else is there that you might want to say, particularly to anyone out there that's struggled, you know, with trauma? How can they, you know, can you think of anything that would be really important to share before we say goodnight?
I think one of the most important things you can do is to push through and connect with someone. If you can connect with someone about your experience, that's the first step to healing, because that's how humans heal, is through connection. And also, we're available to connect with professionally. More information at trueselfhealinggroup.com. So thank you again.
Well, you're very
thank
welcome.
Thank you, Eddie.
Yeah. And I do want to mention before we close that our guest next week is someone who you might know, Hillary Bolton.
Bolter.
I can't read my own handwriting.
Hillary Bolter.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. She's going to come on and talk about, guess what, motivational interviewing. That seems to be kind of a main focus of hers. And the theme's going to be from ambivalence to lasting change. So we're really looking forward to Hillary joining us next week. And I want to thank both Ezra Post and Hillary...
Lillian Woods.
I'm sorry, Lillian Woods. I'm getting the names all crossed up. Lillian Woods, for joining me this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to our listeners for joining me once again on another edition of A Mindful Emergence. We'll see you next week.